Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big money
at Menards. Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning, and we have finally made it to draft day here on the program. But to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning. Happy draft day. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, the first round tonight, what is the most intriguing part of this draft to you, either with the draft itself, players that could be moved around the draft? What are you most, I guess, looking out for tonight?
I want to know what's going to happen with the Patriots at three. I feel like we're at the point now that Caleb Williams at one, Jaden Daniels at two feels fairly locked in. And I think people are still I think the presumption is that Caleb or Drake May is going to come off the board at three to the Patriots, that they're going to stick and pick and that they'll end up going with Drake May. But I do know there is a caucus inside the Patriots that definitely likes J.J. McCarthy, and I'm curious to see how that plays out, particularly with Jonathan Kraft. Anytime an element of ownership becomes more involved in what your process is, which is what is happening right now in New England, it makes it a little more unpredictable than people think. Now, the latest wave of sort of where they're going seems to be pushing this Drake May idea, but if it's McCarthy, what becomes interesting is it really would reverberate through the rest of the draft, because I think May is definitely unquestionably the target for the Minnesota Vikings. The idea of the Vikings moving up and especially giving up a lot of assets to move up, I think that player is May that they're targeting. It doesn't mean that they don't like McCarthy at all, but it's definitely the number one priority, I think, moving up. So he would have to get past the Patriots at three for them to come and play at four, and then I think it could trigger all kinds of things in that, you know, top 8, 9, 10, I think through the 15th pick. So that to me is definitely one that is pretty interesting. And then another team that not a lot of people are talking about, the Indianapolis Colts, I don't think have gotten a ton of, you know, chatter in the process, particularly as a potential trade team. But you know, I think the Colts really prize, I think they definitely want to take a player to accentuate Anthony Richardson. I think they would love it to be one of those top three wideouts. I think if the top 5, 6, 7 picks go into a certain way that one of those or two of those wideouts start to slide toward the end of 10, I think Indianapolis could become more active. I think if they get stuck at 15, it depends if Bowers is there. If he's not, I bet you the first surprise we see is potentially Xavier Worthy coming off at number 15 to the Colts.
Hi, Charles. Sorry, I missed most of your answer because my computer just melted down. So, first of all, you're in L.A., so you got a show tonight. We should let you plug that real fast. And you and Fitz, by the way, our guy Fitz out there with you, make sure you make sure he brings his fiddle, because I think that, you know, a little fiddle during the show would be effective. But real quick, how can people see this?
If you check out, so it'll be streaming. We'll have everything you need to see if you check out Yahoo Sports once the draft kicks off. But it's going to be streaming live. Excuse myself, as you said, Jason Fitz, Matt Harmon, who handles a lot of our fantasy load at Yahoo Sports, Adam Gorney from Rivals, and then Damian Harris, who obviously was the running back for the Patriots and the Bills during the course of his NFL career. So it's just going to be the five of us. And as picks roll in, we're going to suss out what we think of the different players and things we'd heard and the process and whatnot. So it's not it's going to be a little bit different. It won't be like a live feed of the NFL draft. It's just going to be more sort of what we had all heard into the process, what we think of the picks. If you want to watch it, you know, dual screen experience type of thing, check out Yahoo Sports once the draft starts. So it should be pretty fun.
So you think six quarterbacks are going in the first round?
Yeah, I do. I think at this point it's pretty. The interesting thing about it, though, is so when you – I'm telling you, Penix, when I did all these draft assessments and I felt like I got the stack of how teams were looking at their own boards and trying not really their own boards in terms of how they valued players with grades, but more how they felt like players would come off the board. To me, the one player in the six quarterbacks, and really it comes down to Bo Nix of Oregon and Michael Penix of Washington, the one player who had by far assessments that screamed to me someone really has to like him to take him in one was Penix. Of 11, 12 teams, they were clearly stacking him in the mid second to the end of the second. And some even had third round grades on him. And, you know, I think a lot of that has to do with the medical. There are some teams that no matter what, yeah, he's been healthy for a couple of years, they're going to subboard him just from a medical perspective and say, we can't risk a first round pick on this guy. Maybe we can't risk a second round pick. But, you know, of 12 teams, I think only one had like a late first round sort of in their stack. This is where we think he's likely to come off a late first round grade or lock in on the boards where they're looking externally at the rest of the league. 13 at the Raiders, they have been locked onto him. I remember being at the combine. We might have discussed it on the show where it was early on, and I started to hear, you know, the Raiders love him. They're locked in on him. And I'm like, in the second? I can't believe they're going to take this guy at number 13. That's never stopped consistently through the process. And I questioned it so much at the combine, you know, I internally and then in the league, I kind of asked a few people, but I was like, I'm not saying this out loud. And then Daniel Jeremiah, like a week or two after, I think he released his first mock and he had it. He had him going to the Raiders. I'm like, all right, well, I guess we can talk about this. It's not that crazy. But teams, even then, when you would ask them, were kind of like, that's wild. Like, that is just this idea of quarterbacks really getting over-pursued in this draft to push them up that high. And it's not just the medical. You know, he's short to intermediate. short to intermediate. There's things about him that need a lot of work as a passer. And then I think teams looked at the Michigan tape in the national title game and they said, this is NFL type of pressure. This is one he's going to deal with. And they did not like what they saw on tape against Michigan. And I think there was just this concern that is he going to be able to handle it, you know, when he gets to the NFL level and he's going to constantly face not only physicality where guys are going to be hitting him, but, you know, he's going to have to move around in the pocket and make decisions and be accurate. And he's already shown at times where he's not pressured from short to intermediate. He has some accuracy issues. So Penix, I think, is going to be the one. You know, Nix is a pick your flavor type. If he fits the scheme, that's why everybody's putting him in Denver. Sean Payton's got the kind of scheme that really dovetails with his game. Does he go 12 to Denver? Does he go to Denver later in the first round? I think that's more of the question. But those are the six with the big four, and then those two guys I think all sneak into the first round at some point.
Charles Robinson with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Charles, two things for you here. We've assumed for a year and a half at this point that Marvin Harrison is going to be the first wide receiver to come off the board. Do you think Neighbors has a chance to come off before Harrison? And when it comes to the first round, could we see six wide receivers? Could we see seven? How do you view how many, just the quality of wide receiver and how many we could see come off the board tonight?
Sure. Now that we're here, I doubt that Neighbors. There were times where it was fun to, you know, talk to different personnel executives and kind of debate the merits of the two guys. But I just don't. I think Marvin's coming off first, regardless of, you know, whether that's, you know, I don't. If Arizona sticks at four, if they could be there, if they move back, you know, let's say to six. If it's, you know, if he gets to the Giants, maybe it's there. I think it's pretty clear that you know, Marv is seen as the guy who's gonna come off first. Weirdly enough, what I think has kind of happened in the process is, I wonder if Rome Odunze out of Washington, like if there's a shock, I think it would be more like, oh, Rome's this wide receiver too, and not Neighbors. And I only say that because in the process, the one guy who I've heard like no negatives about, where teams have raved every time they've talked to him, they love what he does on the field. They love that he went to the combine and did everything, seems to really be connected to the process. And like, look, I'm going to do whatever I got to do. This is, you know, like the way he's attacked it. And then again, the interviews have been fantastic. I think Rome Odunze is the one guy that has really put some pressure on maybe Neighbors. And, you know, and I don't want to blow this up. I think Neighbors has been fine in the process, has been great, and his pro day was awesome at LSU. You know, but I also think like some of the interviews, I think a couple of teams were kind of nitpicking him a little bit just in terms of the sit downs that they had with him. And, you know, but again, I also think some of that's overexposure when it comes to these guys. It's in terms of the wide receivers stack in the first. Yeah, I definitely think six is a pretty solid number. Brian Thomas out of LSU is going to be interesting because I've heard at the last minute in the process with him, a couple of teams are like, yeah, we like him and we like this film. We like the stuff he does downfield. There's a little bit of a labrum thing with him that makes us a little nervous. So, you know, I wonder if he quote unquote slides a little bit, if maybe the concern over a past injury involving the labrum is something that causes that. Worthy is another one that I think is a first, so that's five. And then I think what's interesting is when you start to get down to that sixth receiver, it's a number of different guys who could potentially be in play. Like some teams tell me, like with Ladd McConkey in Georgia, they're like, yeah, fringe first. Others are like, no, injury concern there, late second. Like we're looking at him as kind of a late second guy. Mm-hmm. Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. So I'll say this about Mitchell. A lot of stuff popped up in the process at the last minute. Bob McGinn, who was a longtime Packers beat writer, brought up some issues with whether Mitchell being diabetic has created problems for him, first at Georgia, then at Texas, in terms of availability, in terms of like kind of his mood and the way he, you know, approached staffs or people surrounding the football programs. I don't want to like rubber stamp that, but I will say there was concern when I talked to teams that like, is this real? And they're like, yeah, there's some of that there. Like there is some concern there, but I think the teams that really like him and like what he brings to the table, they go, we feel like he's coming in, he's going to be a professional. We're going to make sure that this is something that is managed properly. And, you know, there will be less of an availability concern. And when I say availability concern, by the way, I mean like for practices, during the course of the week, you know, and then just sort of kind of how he functions personally and socially with people surrounding him. I think there were some questions with teams that was surprising to me, and I hadn't really asked that question before Bob brought it up. And I was surprised that a couple of teams definitely were like, yeah, you know, a little bit of that. So we'll see if that causes him to maybe slip out of the first, because I do think he was definitely a guy that was probably very solidly in that 20 to 32 range prior to Bob bringing that, at least for me. And then after that, I was like, maybe he's a little further down in the first than I thought.
So Charles, there's always misinformation. I mean, there's always things that people are talking about going into a draft, and then you can look back. Like I look back at last year, and a lot of people were on this. Oh, the Colts love Levis. Levis is their guy.
Right.
So if I have a called shot today, my shot is that the Harbster has been barking about offensive linemen, and he obviously has to take a freaking receiver at five, and he's going to take a receiver at five, and he was always going to take a receiver at five. First of all, what do you think about that? And if there's one thing right now maybe that stands out to you among popular narratives that you think is bunk, what would it be?
Well, first off, when it comes to Harbaugh, and I'll tell you what, I did – so I hammered the phones late last week, like in through Sunday, Monday, and then I wrote a draft notebook. And I'm like, okay, here's how I think here's this is a ton of draft information. And then for the first time in 15 years, I did like a mini mock on Twitter yesterday, or X, and I basically said, look, if the Patriots pick and stick McCarthy, which would be the shocker, here's how I think that like top 16 picks could end up breaking down. And it, and after I did all of it, I was like, man, this is going to be awesome, because in like 4 days, I'll look back. And I was like, at the very least, it's going to be a litmus test of like who I can no longer trust. I'm probably like 70% of this is going to be totally wrong, or 80% of this is not going to pan out, and I'm going to be pissed off. And, you know, I was like, at least it'll be a tool to help me be like, okay, what happened here when we were talking? So yeah, there's a ton of misinformation. And I will say this about the Chargers, though. He has brought up offensive line. It has affected other teams to the point where in like the last 5 days, J.C. Latham, the Alabama right tackle, became a very prominent. There's a very prominent belief that like the Chargers are very locked onto Latham. Some people believe the Titans really like Latham. Like if, let's say, Alt came off at 5, some people think the Titans would be more than happy to run the card in on Latham at 7. I trotted it out yesterday. I think it was early in the, you know, early afternoon. I said I put Latham at 5. I get killed by Chargers fans. They absolutely murdered me. And then Daniel Jeremiah comes out with his mock late last night, and oh, surprise, Latham now is at 5. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not the only one hearing this. Clearly,
he's copying you.
I'm sure DJ's copying me. I sit there and I look at it, and I'm like, if they do this, and that's when I spot him there. I'm like, if they do this, like, where are they getting their wide? They need wide receiver talent, and you'd be passing an elite at 5 to do this. Maybe yes. Even Marvin Harrison Jr., depending on how it all comes in. And it's hard for me to believe that. And so if they take a wide out, Joe, as you suspect, I'm going to sit there and go, yeah, I mean, I'm just dumb. Like I just listen. It's like I tell myself I'm not going to listen to people late, particularly in the 48 hours before the draft. And then I did. And I'm just a dummy, so I can't help it. In terms of other things that I say, clearly McCarthy is the one where you're like, okay, what if this guy, let's say May goes off at 3, then the Giants don't take him at 6, and then all of a sudden he's quote unquote sliding, and the Vikings sit pat. And even though I don't think he's their number one like target in a move up, he gets to 11. And the Vikings select him there. Then we'll be like, oh, McCarthy was like a mini slide. That won't really be true. It'll just be, oh, no, some people came to their senses or whatever, and they weren't, you know, willing to give up a bunch of assets to push him up the board unnecessarily, and he slid back a bit. The only other one that I'm kind of iffy on is like Byron Murphy, the defensive tackle out of Texas. I think it was Schefter who brought it up first. I've heard other people kind of echo it, the potential of him being the number one player, the defensive first big defensive player off the board, which would be a surprise because Dallas Turner out of Alabama, the edge, has gotten everybody I've talked to says like the cleanest eval in the draft when it comes from a defensive standpoint. I think what happened with Murphy was Ryan Poles, the GM for the Bears, came out and said, he just talked at length about how much having a sort of pocket penetrator in the middle of the defensive line, particularly when you have an edge, is such a huge deal. And then, you know, I think some teams start to hear that and they're like, well, maybe Murphy's that guy that they want. And he would surprisingly become the first D tackle off the board or first defensive player off the board. Other than that, I mean, I don't know. Like, let's see if Nick's. Does one of these 6 quarterbacks, so what I told you about Penix, if let's say Penix goes in the 2nd, everyone's like, oh my gosh, Penix, look, he slid. That wouldn't be true. All the teams I talked to put him in the 2nd, you know, some put him in the 3rd. So if he ends up there, that's kind of meets the assessment that what a lot of these teams were looking at when they were slotting externally the board. And they were saying Penix probably going to be a 2nd round pick. But we're all looking at it going, mock drafts, these million mock drafts are all putting him. So he must be sliding. No, he wasn't really sliding for NFL teams. They all kind of looked at him like this. But this year, more than any, and I probably felt this way last year, but this year more than any, I cannot believe the amount of mock drafts I saw. It's insane.
It's a lot.
Like it used to be every outlet would have one or two. Now I feel like every outlet's got, in terms of individuals, now it's like NFL Network has like nine people doing mock drafts. And I'm like, are they just walking through the hallways being like, got a mock draft? You got a mock draft? What are you doing mock
draft? It's like NCAA brackets now. Everybody's got a bracket, yeah. You know?
Where to go? There's like an intern making copies. I'm like, hey man, you got a mock draft? You want to get your mock draft up? Like, so yeah. If they redid draft day now, the guy who's Kevin Costner, when he trashed the intern's computer, he would have been, the intern would have been pissed. He'd be like, I'm gotta get my mock draft.
Charles, last thing for you here. What do you think the chances are that we could see either a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins move tonight or this weekend?
So this is, I mean, to me, this falls into the whole like misinformation stuff. The last 48 hours, I've gotten calls from a couple of teams that they're like, hey, what are you hearing on Ayuk? Like, but it wasn't like a normal, it was like, they were clearly hearing that the Niners were like taking calls then on Ayuk. And it was like, where's he going to go? What's going to happen? Hey, is Pittsburgh in play here? You know, if he gets traded, then you're like, oh, clearly they got to the point where they're like, all right, open the phone lines on him. Let's at least hear what teams would potentially offer him. It's just weird that this is now where it's really started to bubble up the last 2 days. So I don't know whether to believe that or not, but there's definitely more poking and prodding from other NFL teams on that, especially specifically Ayuk, and who might be calling the 49ers about him. So he's on my radar because this has happened really starting on Tuesday. I think it was like Tuesday evening was when all of a sudden I started to hear like, oh, Ayuk's going to get traded. Higgins, you know, I think teams have known for a while that they could make their offers on T and that T wanted to be traded and that, you know, if you want to come to the table with a second round pick, maybe that starts the conversation with the Bengals. I think what really changes the dynamic for the Bengals is the Amon-Ra St. Brown contract is Ja'Marr Chase and CeeDee Lamb are like, they are going to nuke it. Like the idea of like $35 million easy, I think, for those guys. You know, Justin Jefferson, $35 million easy, probably for that trio of receivers. That's not to knock them on Ross St. Brown. It's just these three are definitely in a tier way above, I think, the next tier of guys. And so if you're the Bengals, you're like, we're there's just no way we can keep T. Like if we were to keep T, this pipe dream we had of getting him and keeping him at like 17 a year is not going to happen. And so I think I don't know if that changes their motivation. I think they'd still like to have him back in 2024 for what now would be a cheap 1 year deal. But yeah, I think the money to me is very suggestive and that the Bengals are going to have to listen on T knowing that this is the last year they're ultimately going to have him. And I think it's just what kind of draft compensation would they be willing to take? And are would they rather just have the year of production? Cause Burrow does want him back. That's the tough thing here is that Burrow really, really wants to have him there in place in 2024 and beyond. So that's a conversation I think they'd even have to have internally with Joe about maybe really we got to think about moving him.
Well, Charles, really appreciate your time as always. Looking forward to your coverage tonight of the draft on Yahoo Sports, and we'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. I appreciate it. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll react to what Charles had to say. Take your thoughts on all things NFL draft. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Got some tickets to give away to see the Pixies and Modest Mouse at Ascend Amphitheater coming up on Sunday, June 2nd. Be caller 3. 615-737-1025. Thanks to Charles Robinson for being with us in the last segment. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Robbie, man, I promise you, I have, like, all along thought it's Joe Alt or nothing, and I've changed my mind, like, last second. I think is actually a Brock Bowers moment today. Like, I think we got to recoup a pick because we had to trade up to get Levis. So I think we're going to do that. You slide back, you get Bowers. He's already, like, hyped to be here. I think this is the way I look at it, man. Either you draft Joe Alt and you win six games, or you don't draft Joe Alt and you win four games. But why not get a good player like Bowers right there? So I don't think you can lose because we got so many holes, man, but that's ideal, the draft that I think is going to end up happening tonight. I think it's Brock Bowers.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it. The Brock Bowers part of this, I've said it all along, Joe. Yeah. Like if they walked away tonight and ended up with Brock Bowers, I would not be mad about it. I think he's going to be a very good player in the NFL. Now, tight end is nowhere close to the top need that they have on the team. I would rather them walk away with Joe Alt. I would rather them walk away with Malik Nabers. Like, there are certain guys that I'd rather see the Titans draft tonight. But I've said it from the beginning of this entire process. Like, if Brock Bowers ends up being their pick, I'm not going to be mad about it, even though I know there's some Titans fans that will be.
No, I agree. When I put Bowers, when I did my little big board the other day for the first day with 10 players that, you know, that one of them, I mean, that's a lot of players, but that some of them would be like if they move down players. But when I put Bowers in there, there were some people really angry with me in the comments with the whole idea of first round tight ends never pan out. He'd be, you know, basically one of the highest paid tight ends in the league almost instantly if you draft him that high, et cetera, et cetera. And I hear all that, but I mean, I go back to what Dane Brugler told us when we had him on about how versatile he can be as a weapon. I just don't think he's just a good tight end. I think he's more than that. So I basically think the exact same way you do on that, which is I think the Titans would be better off with an Alt or a Nabers or something like that, but I can't quibble if they go for Bowers. I think he might be ridiculous in this league.
So what did you make? So Charles talked about possibility of six quarterbacks in the first round. Talked about six, maybe seven wide receivers in the first round as well. And then there's the Chargers part of this where he's got him taking Latham tonight. You've got him going receiver. That to me, you know, I think the first three, I know people are talking about New England. I still think quarterback is for sure going first three, and then we'll see kind of beginning with Arizona what happens after that. But the Chargers part of this is, if I'm listing outside of, like, the Titans that I'm obviously most intrigued by heading into tonight, the Chargers and what they do there is really intriguing because that could shape up what the Titans have available to them at number seven.
No doubt. And it's really interesting hearing Charles talk about going through the process and how he's gonna have a little bit better feel for who he can trust after this, right? Because, I mean, the clear – signals being put out are they're taking a tackle, and it's interesting that Latham, the fact that there's so much talk about Latham, now I'm wondering, okay, maybe they're taking Alt. You know, so they are going to be fascinating, but I'm sticking with my called shot. I think they have to take a receiver, and they have great receivers on the board for them.
Yep.
Another misinformation test is definitely the Patriots McCarthy thing, because I have a hard time buying that. I think that it's, you know, I think it's the remainder of May or Daniels for them. And it's just, that's what you do. Cause I mean, you know, Washington, there's some question too on what's happening at two. That'll be another test of like, okay, here's some BSing the Patriots did when they really wanted whoever they actually take.
What would your surprise level be if Malik Nabers is the third receiver to go off the board behind Harrison and Adunze jumping ahead of him?
That's another fascinating situation. We talked earlier this week, Bruce Feldman's coaching confidential. And not just that wasn't just like the college people. He's talking to NFL receivers, coaches, and scouts, talking hard about Nabers maybe being wide receiver one over Harrison. And now Charles is bringing in maybe Adunze as wide receiver two over Nabers.
Right.
So one thing that Charles, he didn't really go there with Nabers, but he mentioned – the interview, I mean, I think Adunze is the dude, I've said this before, like, it's just, he lights up a room, And I think he's a special all-around talent. And so I'm sure he destroyed every interview in a good way. And PK kind of brought up the I guess Charles did bring up a little bit interviews with nitpicking with neighbors, and PK brought up whatever, some negativity potentially around him a little bit. Is that enough to factor into this? I don't know. I think if neighbors ends up wide receiver three, boy, what a windfall for whatever team gets him as a third wide receiver in this draft tonight.
I said it earlier in the show. The scenario I'm rooting for is Alt available at 7, neighbors available at 7. And what do the Titans do if they're presented with those two options? I think that would be incredibly fascascinating. I mean, you can throw Adunze in there too.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Adunze, same thing. And I think it's quite likely that it's Alt and one of those two guys that is a choice there. So, you know, we'll get to see again, all things being equal, Brian Callahan said, but that doesn't mean they are equal, but all things being equal, he likes touchdown scores.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Your final thoughts on the NFL draft as the first round is underway tonight. What will the Titans do at number 7? What do you want to see them do at number 7 tonight? Do you want to see them move back, pick more picks? We'll take your thoughts on all that. 615-737-1025, our number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 the game, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. The first round of the NFL draft coming up tonight. So I thought it was fascinating to get Charles's thoughts on the T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk part of this as well. Could one of those two receivers be on the move tonight? Before people ask, no, I do not think the Titans are going to be involved in either one of those guys, especially after they just paid Calvin Ridley, so I wouldn't expect that. And the other part of that is, like, if you want to add another receiver, well, then just, you know, draft one right there at number 7. You could do that tonight. We'll see what happens on that front. But I would not be surprised if Ayuk gets traded. I said it yesterday at the end of the show, Joe. I'm calling it. Ayuk to the Bills. I have no inside sourcing, no reporting. That's just my guess. Ayuk to the Bills.
Okay, I don't hate that. I've seen some speculation on the Jags possibly getting in on that too. Obviously, they lost Ridley to the Titans, so that would kind of make sense. They need to help Trevor Lawrence more. You know, going back to Adam's call, I did want to address that. I meant to say something earlier. He mentioned, you know, if they draft Alt, maybe they win 6 games. If they don't, maybe they win 4 games, but they could be better off. I think the thing about, and this is where it's a fascinating situation if they have the choice, and it's where I'm going to probably go back and forth all the way until they actually make a pick. It's not just about what you're going to win this year. It is also about keeping your young quarterback upright, isn't it?
Sure.
I mean, it's like if you don't come away with a tackle you can start pretty early this season, you are, again, trying to cobble together outside protection for some great NFL edge rushers for your young quarterback who you're trying to figure out if he's good or not, and you're trying to keep him healthy. And that's where it's more than just like, what's your bottom line going to be? How's that going to be affected? I mean, it's you are directly, and I know you're helping him with a receiver too, but just in terms of him being able to function, he has this year, he has receivers, he has backs, he has tight ends who can make plays. 2 straight years, Tennessee Titans quarterbacks have had no protection. They've had no chance. I mean, really, when it comes down to it. And so I do think that, I mean, that has to be part of the consideration here. And you know, another thing, Robbie, is like, as much as right now I'm like, if it's neighbors, you got to go neighbors, you know, Adunze, I tend to drift that way. But if you do that, when you get to 38, because there are a lot of teams out there, you go through the list of teams who could take a tackle, who would like a tackle, who kind of need a tackle. I mean, there could be a massive run on that position and you could be left. Yes, there's tackle depth, so maybe Patrick Paul, if you like him. But maybe, I don't know, is Patrick Paul definitely there at 38?
Right.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think you have to factor that into everything, in your big board and your horizontal and your vertical and your need and your best available, but also what's coming next and how adversely affected are you? again, just in functioning and being able to give your quarterback a chance, if you don't get a tackle, you can start out of this draft.
Matthew in Nashville, who is a surprise player that y'all think could fall in the first round? And what's one shocking pick you think that we could see tonight? I think if I had to identify a person that I think, and you tell me whether or not this is shocking, there's a couple that come to mind. Number one, I think you could see Fuaga go higher than some people have him going just based on the quality of prospect he is at right tackle. I would not love that pick if it's the Titans pick, but I think you could see him go higher. And I wonder, and I saw some people have this. I saw Charles talking about this in a piece he had earlier this week at Yahoo Sports. Could Xavier Legette find his way into the first round? That back part of the first round, you know, 30, 31, 32. Like, can you imagine Legette to the Chiefs at 32? Like, that would be just the speed he brings. So, like, that would be intriguing to me. Like, in terms of a faller, you know, I am interested to see where Bowers goes. He is Dane Brugler called him a top 10 talent. That doesn't mean that he's going to go in the top 10. But I think the other one is Fashanu. Like, where is Fashanu?
Yes, that was
going to
be my
going?
Answer.
Yeah.
Yep, that was going to be my answer. And obviously, I go back to the mock draft I did this week with the other writers at Athletic, right? I mean, he's sitting there at 16. And I know this is a bunch of writers who cover a bunch of different teams, but he's sitting there at 16. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going there to get him. Is there some reality to that? There is some Fuaga buzz. I mean, again, if you want to talk about a shocker, to me, Latham going 5 to the Chargers?
Yeah.
I mean, that to me qualifies. So, but I'm with you. I think Olu, and it's just really strange because I still, with the information I have on him, I think he's right to me as a left tackle. It's alt, and then I don't think there's a huge gap. And then there's Fashanu, but there's these other guys who seem to have momentum, and that's where it's just like, okay, so what is the momentum? It's the momentum of people whispering things to each other in the million mock drafts, you know, that Charles mentioned. I mean, what is that real? I mean, a lot of it's not real. But, yeah, I think that would be – I'm looking at Brugler right now. Like his, where he just put out this. Yeah. So he's got Olu at 14 to the Saints. So, but maybe it's even could be later. And again, if you're the Titans and you do get an opportunity and someone wants that 7 and you can get more draft capital and then you can drop into the middle area and get an Olu, to me, that's just a huge win.
Well, thank God we're getting ready to find out. It feels like we've been talking about this for 5 months at this point. Looking forward to the draft, the first round coming up tonight. Make sure you're tuning in for our draft show here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We'll see if it's Joe Alt. We'll see if the Titans go another route tonight at pick number 7, but looking forward to it as well. That's going to do it for us today. Chasing Big Joe is coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.